I think that people need to see the personalities behind the steering wheel. And I think that having an experienced female driver that a lot of women can relate to, because we're not just racing in front of guys now. You know, like, the demographic's shifting and a lot of women like racing too.
720 WGN High atop Chicago in the Skyline studio as we kick off another season of racing. Excited to have on the line a groundbreaking racer making more moves in motorsports in 2025, an established star, IndyCar, Indy 500, adding ARCA, NASCAR, and Daytona to the resume. Catherine Legg, welcome to WGN.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Well, coming back from Daytona, like a lot of drivers, victims of big wrecks, rolling up tons of cars, it's the nature of the track in those races, but share a little bit about the experience leading up, the excitement. I'm not sure anything compares to the Indy 500, but Daytona and its atmosphere, the fans, I mean, it's special.
You know what? It really is. And I was having such a great time. The team was awesome. The car was really fast. You know, the buzz and the fans and everything around the event was just, it was just huge. And it was my first foray into, like, speedway racing in a stock car. And it was just, honestly, like, I had a big grin and a renewed sense of vigor about racing. It was just awesome. And I was so disappointed, man. Four laps in and somebody else's wreck took us out. And I just had nowhere to go. I tried to go take evasive action like my spotter told me. But, you know, these things happen. It's unfortunate. You never want to wad up a race car. And I feel bad for the guys having to strip it all down now and build another one. But it's racing. Unfortunately, that's how it goes. And sometimes you're lucky and sometimes you're not lucky. And man, I really wanted to be lucky in this one.
Yeah. It's so many people, tons of drivers, right, had that same exact story to tell. It is just the nature of those super speedways and the way that it goes. And it's almost like universal. It's like just try to kind of survive and be alive at the end. And you never know what can happen. The reception that you got, and I don't know, I'm sure in the garage and the drivers, everyone's super supportive and all that kind of stuff, but from the outside looking at it on the press side and even from the fans on the TV side, you were getting a lot of great reception. People were super excited that you were there.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Honestly, it means a lot. It was just an amazing experience. Like, win, lose, or fail, you have to admire somebody who's going to try, right? And I think that that's been the story of my career, is like, I'll always give it a go and I'll always give it my best shot. And I don't have the experience in the stock car that 90% of the field does, but I do have a lot of experience in other things. And I think it's fun to try and make that transition over. It's something that I've always wanted to do. And honestly, like, it's something I've worked really hard for. So I think that people can get behind that underdog story, you know, and I really did appreciate the support that I got. And it's something different. It gives somebody something to cheer for. It's like, I remember when I was a kid and I went to some, like, touring car races with my dad at the local racetrack, and they had Renaults and Vauxhalls and, like, all the car brands that I grew up seeing on the road. And they had personalities driving them. So you would choose, like, your favorite brand and your favorite driver, and you'd have somebody to cheer for. And I think we need to bring that back into racing. I think NASCAR has a lot of that, right? You know, you can relate to Chevrolet and you can relate to, I don't know, your favorite driver. They all have personalities. Whereas, like, F1 these days, for example, is getting kind of emoteless, and they're all very robotic. And so I think that people need to see the personalities behind the steering wheel. And I think that having a female driver, an experienced female driver that a lot of women can relate to, because we're not just racing in front of guys now, you know, like, the demographic's shifting and a lot of women like racing too. And so even the guys there with their daughters and their kids, you know, it's just, it's different, and it's great that I feel so much love, honestly.
Yeah. You think about that whole, if you can see it, you can be it kind of thing. And that's what it is. And I think with the media now and with just the ability to be able to share more of the people behind the helmet, behind the wheel, right? Racing is one of those things where it's kind of difficult because, you know, you're confined in a lot of that. And so much of what happens on the track isn't necessarily just about the personality, but to have you there and see it. And Daytona does give those personalities where you can be from other maybe series or sports and get into it and make a name and certainly making some more fans. You mentioned your dad and kind of growing up. That was one of the things that I wanted to ask, because people are going to see you. Girls are going to see you. People are going to see you and they're going to say, I want to be a race car driver. But for you growing up, maybe you didn't have as much of that out there in the world for you to see. Was it your dad? Was that the inspiration? And at what point? Because it's one thing for people to say, oh, I want to do something cool. Maybe I want to be an astronaut. But to make it real, what was it for you, or who was it that made it real for you?
That's a very good question, because of course it was my dad. You know, without your parents, I don't think you can probably be a race car driver, because you need to be in a go-kart. You need to be in a go-kart every weekend. And I was very lucky. Both of my parents kind of brought me up to believe that I could be anything that I wanted to be if I worked hard enough at it. And so I don't think at age 9, I wanted to be a race car driver, because I didn't have anybody who was doing it in England. Like, you had Linton James over here, you had Janet Guthrie, and then later, obviously, Sarah Fisher. But we didn't have that in the UK. There was one girl who was racing go-karts, and she was probably 12 when I was 9. And I looked at her and I was like, if she can do it, I can do it. Like, this is awesome. And so I think you do need those, role models per se, but examples. Mm-hmm. And I think that was an important thing. And I think that my dad not believing that I should be treated any differently because I was a girl and supporting me as such, you know, even when the other dads were like, oh, you got beaten by a girl to their kids, my dad was like, ugh, just ignore him. So I was very fortunate that I got the opportunity. And then I never actually thought I wanted to be a race car driver, because I never thought it would be possible to do it for a job, for a living. And I still don't see it as a job. I still just think I'm incredibly blessed to be able to go racing some weekends. And I just kept on keeping on. Like, I just never gave up. And I just kept on, even when you get hit and you get knocked down 17 times, tenacity gets you 90% of the way there. So that would be also my advice to anybody doing anything. Like, it's gonna suck and you're gonna get knocked down, but if you want it badly enough, you will find a way to make it happen.
Yeah, racing is something you definitely have to be hardwired to do, to sustain, to succeed. And that's it. I think that's all part of it too, is that perseverance. So sports cars, Formula E, NASCAR, IndyCar, Formula One, you've raced them all. Some drivers, you know, like Mario Andretti, AJ Foyt, maybe Tony Stewart can get into any car and drive, but most drivers can't. For you, what is it that's made you excited about all the other series, or restless, right, to race everything? And for stock cars, you know, what's the appeal?
I think I've always wanted to do more stock car stuff. I drove an Xfinity car at a handful of road courses, I think like 2017, and I loved it so much. But what it is you have to, it's so much work to do any one series. Like, if you're a sports car driver, you're focused on that sports car. You're trying to make it work. You're trying to find sponsors. You're trying to be competitive. You're trying to give feedback. You're traveling every week. You're training really hard. Like, it is not easy to do multiple disciplines just because of the nature of the work involved in getting to the first discipline, right? So, and I was the same. I kind of came about it a different way. I came about it out of necessity, because I didn't have a big sponsor that was going to follow me wherever I wanted to go. I had to take whatever rides were offered to me and available at the time. And so I drove a lot of bad race cars, just trying to prove myself and make my way through. But then I drove a lot of really good race cars too. So I don't regret the way I did it. I would probably do it slightly differently next time, if there was a next time. But the more you drive different things, and, you know, I'm not at the beginning of my career by any stretch of the imagination, but I'm not at the end of it either. I've got a couple of good years left in me yet. So why not? If I'm in the privileged position where I can try and make the big cool races happen, why not try that? So I went back to Indy. You know, I did the Chili Bowl this year. Yeah. And I still have a couple on my bucket list. Like, I really want to go and do Bathurst in a GT car. And I want to do Le Mans, because I was supposed to do it in 2020, and then I broke both of my legs in France testing beforehand. And so there's so many things that I still want to do, but stock car is definitely front of mind at the moment, as is IndyCar, and trying to get back to Indy. But I don't think people realize how difficult it is to put a program together. with the teams and the sponsors and the partners and the series and everything that goes into it. Everybody out there is incredibly talented and working really hard, and there are no bad drivers at that level. So yep. it's a lot, but I love it. And so I will keep on keeping it.
Yeah. And to see it as that adventure, right. To be able to do it. And of course, right. If it was easy, everyone would be doing it. It's almost impossible. And you look back and you look back at the career, and you mentioned it's still a lot of career left to go. You feel like you've done a lot so far, and you have, but I feel that this is, for Catherine Legg, an opportunity to introduce yourself to so many new fans at this part of your career. You know, you've got all of that street cred and experience and talent, but for a lot of people, this is their first opportunity to meet Catherine Legg. And I think through the stock car side, there's going to be a lot of people excited to have you there. You mentioned sponsors. I think more than any other professional sport, sponsors are essential, right, to make it happen. All sponsors are good, but some sponsors, absolutely, I think are better, or maybe even more fun. Fans were super excited to see you break out the Bandito at Daytona, and I'm sure you got some great feedback from that. But for you, for sponsors, like, what is it that you look for in a partner? Because I feel Catherine Legg is a unique opportunity for sure.
I think it's definitely authenticity, right? So at Indy a couple of years ago, Elf Cosmetics came on board and really changed the landscape. And I would even say it's not a stretch to say that they changed the landscape of sponsorship and racing, because their activation at Indy this past year and their garnering all the support from all the women out there for their one race car. I mean, I would love to think it had something to do with me and I played a part in it, but honestly, like, Elf, it has a cult following, and they're such a unique, amazing brand that it just worked. I felt like it was incredibly authentic to me and who I was, and trying to be feminine but still trying to kick butt in a race car. And the support that I got from all the ladies around the track was just phenomenal. You know, it was this whole movement, and it was powerful. And it really, I mean, even when I think about it, I'll talk about it now, it was really special. And I really think that it was a point in time that we can all look back on and think, okay, that really did change the landscape for racing. And then going past Elf and last year, obviously I want to keep them on board this year and do even more cool, special things with them. But we've got, like you said, El Bandito Tequila we had on board at Daytona. And that's authentic too, because I work out a lot. I have to be fit and strong for racing. So when I do go out to a party or something, then I drink tequila, soda, and lime. And so I was like, well, that would be an authentic story to tell. And so they're very clean tequila. And, you know, I think people like to see that you're normal too, and you do go out and party and do things. And so enjoy the occasional drink. So that was really authentic. So I think we're gonna have lots of very cool partners on board this year that we're talking to at the moment that just fit with the brand, right? Like, they fit with me and what I'm trying to do, and it's just like it just feels right. It just feels like the right time, and it feels like I know who I am and who I want to be, and that I don't need to try and be something or somebody different. And so it's just working at the moment, and I love it.
Well, and also too, is not just to feel like you have to get in line with sort of the team photo of brands that are indigenous to motorsports. I think it's a testament to your voice to be able to pull in, because it's one thing for you to be excited about it, and you're a girl and adventurous, and you like to, you know, go out and party and stay fit and do all that kind of stuff. But to talk those brands into making just very significant financial decisions to buy into what it is that you're doing, and that their customers can buy into it too, I think that's got to be super validating.
It really is. But it's also really easy to show them that motor racing fans are the most loyal people on the planet, and I love them. Like, they love you or they hate you, right? And they're vehement about it, whichever way they go. And if they love you, then they will support the brands that you have on your race car. So I think that's incredibly important. And I think that is unlike any other sport, right? You have, I don't know, whoever it is on your race car, Elf on your race car, and you have Elf doing activation, and literally every girl out there is walking around Indy with a lip oil, right? Like, it's just, it's a very unique sport like that. And I think it's the best way that fans can support us, because, you know, without them, we wouldn't be there. Yep. We're an extension of the team that we drive for. So if the team that we drive for is good, and the sponsors we have on board are great partners, then we are an extension of that, and it just works, right? And then the fans, they support us by buying the products and supporting the products and following the companies, and it just kind of happens organically. And so we wouldn't be there without them, and then they wouldn't be there without us, and it's like this whole circle of racing life. And it just, sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. And I think it very much depends on the team, the personality, and the product that you are advertising, I guess, for want of a better term.
When it comes to the Indy 500, and we mentioned just how hard it is to get into that race and to be a part of it, but to succeed in ways, in 2023, you set new qualifying records for female drivers. Talk about that. And so WGN Radio, you know, has a unique connection with the Indy 500. We were the first radio station to ever broadcast it. And so that connection is super authentic there. But talk about it for you, like as an event in general, for those people that may not have ever been to it. And then just this opportunity for you to even make more history.
It is the biggest sporting event in the world. I can say categorically, like, there are 300,000 people that show up, and there is no other sporting event that even comes close, not even the Super Bowl, right? So I think that it makes it the most special. It gives it a vibe. You drive into Indianapolis on race day, and you can't help but feel the energy shift and the, it's indescribable. Honestly, until you've been there as a fan, as a driver, as a mechanic, as a team member, whatever it is, when you drive in, it means something different to everybody. And I remember the first year that I went was 2005, and I drove under that tunnel with the team that I was racing for, but I wasn't racing in the 500. I was racing in the Sport Series. And I just remember thinking, this is the coolest thing ever. Like, I want to do this. And then it just gets under your skin, and you want to do it, and you want to do it in a competitive car. And yeah, it's amazing. Obviously, Indy, you have to have a good team and you have to have a good car. Otherwise, you're basically driving around trying to save your own life on a lap by lap basis. So the guys at the front are actually not working as hard as the guys at the back with the bad cars. But it's experience. It's getting the opportunity. It's earning your stripes. And there's so many experience, like life experiences. How many people can say they've done the Indy 500? Not many. How many women can say they've done the Indy 500? Nine. There's nine of us. Jeez. That makes it pretty special. You know, like, it's not lost on me how fortunate I am to be able to do something that I love. How unique it is, really.
Yeah, it's absolutely crazy. You know, you have so much that you're looking to accomplish. Obviously, the future is very bright, but you do have to take stock at some points and sit down, maybe with an El Bandito Yankee, you know, cocktail, and say, like, man, we've done a lot. You know, we've done an absolute lot. So what's next for the year? What's on the horizon, or what would you like to see for Catherine Legg and your team in 2025?
I think just to keep building and to keep doing things properly. You know, it's been a bit of a scramble, a lot of the stuff that I've been trying to do, and I would like to build it on solid foundations. And so just to put in the work and get everything organized and do some cool races, do some more IndyCar races, do some more NASCAR races, and really take stock and look at what I want to do for the next year or so. And then past that, I really want to help the next generation of female drivers so that there's somebody to take my place when I do hang out my helmet. And so I've been keeping a close eye on all the young competitive females around, and hopefully I can go into kind of management and mentoring of them and help bring them up through the ranks as much as I kind of climbed the ladder. I think I can help them avoid the pitfalls and support them on the way through. And hopefully then the next generation gets the opportunity in a really good car, and then they get to prove themselves at the top levels. And so that would be my dream.
Being visible is one of the ways to do that, of course, with the voice, and then on track and all the action that's yet to come. Last thing is, you know, you got the podcast. We see you on national TV all over the place, exciting stuff. So where can fans go to keep up?
I would say, obviously, yeah, thanks for plugging my podcast there. It's Throttle Therapy with Catherine Legan. You can get it anywhere where you get podcasts. And it's kind of a random barrage of what I'm doing racing-wise, my personal life on the lake, and just, you know, people have been influential in my career and in the racing world in general. So it's kind of all over the place at the moment, and I love that about it. And then really I'm most active on, I would say, Instagram's probably the Catherine Racing, the best place where you get an idea of what I'm doing on a daily basis, because they make me live stream my life. So you get an idea of, oh, I just got back from the gym. Oh, I'm doing this. Oh, I'm having a coffee. So Instagram probably.
Oh, we'll have links for all of it at WGNradio.com. Catherine, thanks so much for what you're doing. Thanks for being part of everything that's going on and in generating additional excitement around motorsports and everything. And thanks for jumping on the show today.
Thanks for having me. It was lovely chatting with you.